Welcome to Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's. I'm Anthony Adams, alongside my co-host, Lindsay Petruni.
And we are coming to you from our Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall, Double A.
How you doing?
Nice intro.
How you doing?
I like that.
How you doing?
It was good. What voice is that? Which Double A personality is this?
I don't know.
You know, there are just so many good ones.
How you doing?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, guess who our first story is about?
Who?
Mike Tomczak. Yep. He grew up right outside of Chicago, Calumet City. He was an undrafted free agent out of Ohio State, but he signed a contract with the Bears. And he didn't get many snaps in his first year, but he still won a Super Bowl ring.
Nice.
Check it out.
Currently, outside of parenting and being a good American citizen, I am working for a company called Esmark Incorporated, and we're based in Pittsburgh. Have a lot of ties back here to Chicago. We're secondary steel coil market throughout the Midwest. I run a division of Esmark Incorporated called Esmark All American, and I'm the president of the company, and we recognize student athletes in 16 varsity sports, both men and women, as high school Americans for academics, character, community service.
Before putting on a Bears uniform, Tomczak made a name for himself just south of Soldier Field at Thornton Fractional North High School. Earning parade All-American honors, he went on to play at Ohio State and signed as an undrafted free agent with the Bears in 1985.
Well, I had three choices, Denver, Buffalo, and Chicago, and take Buffalo and Denver off the table. You know, I always wanted to play for the Bears. I mean, I thought I could help out the quarterback situation. Guys I grew up with against Bob Avellini and Mike Phipps and Vince Evans, I knew I was better than them. But then they had McMahon and Fuller here and Rusty Lish. And we went to training camp, and all Dick had gave me was an opportunity. He didn't know if he was going to keep two or three quarterbacks, but preseason went pretty well for me, and they decided to keep three. And our rookie group, you know, William Perry, Kevin Butler, Jim Morrissey, Reggie Phillips, Thomas Sanders, just to name a few, you know, we were like, okay, we have a place in this team. And the accountability was so important because the head coach demanded that and the players made you accountable. You know, the time I got to know those guys was best was off the field. You know, we had Thursday night dinners. For some reason, I was the single guy in the team, the 23, and it was always my birthday on a Thursday night. And when some of the married guys would roll in at, you know, 12:01, because nothing good happens after midnight, so they were home at 12 o'clock. But, you know, oh, Tom's ex-birthday. Oh, you know, how many birthdays do you have in a year? It was a good alibi, though, and it worked for me because I had the baby face and all that stuff growing up.
As a rookie in 1985, he didn't get much playing time, but he faced a dominant defense every day in practice that made him a better player.
I will not ever forget that experience. Just to go out there and compete against the number one defense ever to play in the National Football League. I was the Dan Marino. I was the Joe Montana. I was getting this defense ready. But then again, it helped me prepare myself for the next 15 years of my career. And it was priceless.
Tomczak set an NFL record by winning his first 10 starts. But a stinging loss in New England in 1988 almost cut his career short after incurring the wrath of Mike Ditka.
You never forget who your first employer was in life, and he was my first employer. He decided to keep a third quarterback, and I loved the guy. He loved me too, but he had a hard way of showing it sometimes. And we were on a flight back from New England, and I was getting ready to quit football because he humiliated me and made me cry and everything and thought I was weak. But I'm on the plane, okay? I'm on the plane. We're going back at a full team on the plane, and I just thought about, you know, this is not worth it. If it wasn't for Greg Landry, I probably never played anymore. But Dick had just back and forth between McMahon, myself, and Harbaugh, and going in and out of the game, and I just said I had enough. And then Diana Ditka came down the aisle, and she goes, you know, Mike, how you doing? I said, terrible. I'm sitting in the exit row. I'm going to pull this gosh darn thing down, and we're all going to, because I just feel your husband didn't treat me poorly. She goes, well, he loves you. I said, he's got a funny way of showing it. And then come Monday, next day, he has a heart attack. And thank God for my Catholic upbringing. I said, Mike, don't mess with me, because I know the men upstairs really well. And we still chuckle about that. But that 72-hour event really was pivotal in my life because I was ready to leave the game. Divine intervention sidelined Dicka for a little bit, and then I resurrected my career and played well the rest of the year.
Tom Zach has many fond memories playing for the team he rooted for as a kid.
Rookie year in training camp in Platteville, I got shot in the butt by, I thought it was a bee, but Walter Payton had these little trinkets of stuff, and I guess they got in the way of his target and hit me right in the rear end. I thought I got stung and had a little blood. And those moments like that off the field, Matt Sui, just, I love the guy. I mean, Jimbo Covert and Tom Thayer and Jay Hilgenberg, and I talked to him continuously, and we always, what about nine? Oh, he's a clown. What about nine? Oh, he's a clown. Oh, what about, oh, he's an idiot. But we loved the guy. It was a great teammate. It was a group that needs to stay together forever, and we're just engulfed in that one championship era that is priceless.
Lindsay, I got a lot of respect for Tom Zach. To get undermined by Coach Dicka in front of all your peers with him chewing that gum.
That'd be rough.
Hey, Tom Zach! I mean, hats off to you, Tom Zach, for sticking in there and, you know, being a true warrior and grinding it out for your team.
Probably toughened him up a little bit. I mean, he sucked it up, he picked himself up and moved on, but I agree, that had to be pretty tough.
Yeah, well, something you can tell your kids, like, hey, I got chewed out by the great Mike Dicker, you know.
But I mean, I might not have any gum, but I do rip on you a lot, so you probably know a little bit how it feels, right?
Yeah, I do. You do this every week, Lindsay.
Every show, yeah. It's a tradition
week.
Now, I mean.
I don't know about tradition. I really don't. It's hurtful.
Aw. Up next.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to just challenge people for one-on-ones to see if they can block me. And I doubt it. I still got it.
And later, Jay Cutler talks about his relationship with head coach Mark Trestman.
With Tress, it's just the little details. He just doesn't lose sight of them.
There you go. He's finding ways to get another completion. You go with the play.